Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10x Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Professional Femme Fatale, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1: The Charismatic Rise. The fluorescent lights of Blackwell Enterprises' sleek office space reflected sharply off the polished glass walls, creating an illusion of endless transparency. To Victoria Chase, the scene was a metaphor for her life. Polished, impenetrable, and perfectly curated. Every detail, from her meticulously styled hair to the subtle designer jewelry that whispered affluence without screaming it, was calculated to project an image of control. Control was everything. "Morning, Miss Chase," murmured a young intern as he scurried past, balancing a precarious stack of files. His eyes lingered a moment too long, betraying the awe and intimidation Victoria had worked hard to cultivate. She offered him a brief, tight smile that didn't quite reach her eyes, not breaking stride as her designer heels clicked rhythmically against the marble floors. Every interaction, even the smallest, was a calculated move in her game. Her destination was the corner office, a sanctuary of power and prestige that belonged to Damian Blackwell, CEO and founder of the multi-billion-dollar conglomerate. The man had built his empire on ruthless efficiency, and Victoria intended to claim a piece of it for herself. Today would mark another step toward that goal. She didn't bother knocking before entering. Damian's office was an immaculate space of sharp lines and minimalist elegance, the kind of room that exuded authority. The man himself sat behind a massive mahogany desk, his piercing blue eyes glued to the screen of his laptop. The glow of the monitor reflected off his silver-framed glasses, adding to his aura of intellectual intensity. "You're late," Damian's voice greeted her without preamble. It was low and measured, carrying the weight of a man who expected to be obeyed. "The meeting with the overseas investors ran over," Victoria replied smoothly, stepping forward to place a steaming cup of black coffee, two sugars, no cream, on his desk. They needed reassurance. Damian's fingers paused over the keyboard, and he looked up, his expression unreadable. His sharp features and steel-gray hair made him look every bit the corporate titan he was. Victoria met his gaze without flinching, a skill she'd perfected over the past year. Few in the company dared to hold Damian Blackwell's stare, but Victoria had learned that confidence was a currency, and she spent it liberally. "And did you reassure them?" he asked, leaning back in his chair and steepling his fingers. "They signed the contracts," she replied, allowing a flicker of triumph to color her tone. "And I secured an additional 10% on their commitment." Damian's lips curved into the faintest hint of a smile, a rare and fleeting expression. "Good work. Keep it up, Chase." It was a small victory, but Victoria knew the power of incremental wins. Each one was a stepping stone, a piece of the puzzle she was assembling to create the life she'd always envisioned. To the outside world, she was merely an executive assistant. In reality, she was the architect of a far greater plan. Later that afternoon, Victoria slipped into the executive conference room where the leadership team had gathered for a quarterly strategy meeting. The room was a hive of tension, with department heads jostling for Damian's attention and favor. The air was thick with the scent of ambition and subtle rivalry. Victoria took her usual place near the back of the room, a strategic position that allowed her to observe without drawing attention. She was silent and watchful, like a predator sizing up its prey. The meeting was in full swing, with voices rising and falling as executives presented their updates. "Our market share in Asia has plateaued," said Elena Price, the CFO, her tone clipped and precise. Elena was a formidable woman, with sharp eyes that missed nothing and a reputation for being ruthlessly efficient. If we don't address the supply chain issues, we risk losing ground to competitors. What's the proposed solution? Damien asked, his tone impatient. We're negotiating with alternative suppliers, but it will take months to implement, Elena replied. Victoria saw her opening. Clearing her throat softly, she stepped forward, drawing all eyes to her. The room fell silent, a testament to the influence she'd cultivated. If I may, she began, her voice steady and confident, I believe there's an opportunity to streamline our logistics using AI-driven forecasting models. With the right approach, we could reduce delays by nearly 40% and significantly lower costs. Damien's sharp gaze fixed on her, and she could feel the weight of his scrutiny. And you've vetted this. Preliminary research suggests it's feasible, she replied. I'd be happy to prepare a detailed proposal. Elena's expression tightened, a flicker of annoyance crossing her features. But Damien nodded. Do it. I want that proposal on my desk by Monday. As the meeting adjourned, Elena intercepted Victoria at the door. Ambitious, aren't we? She said, her tone icy. Victoria's smile was serene, unbothered by the hostility. Just doing my job, she replied. Elena's gaze lingered, a mixture of suspicion and disdain, before she turned and walked away. Victoria watched her go, a thrill of satisfaction coursing through her. The cracks in the foundation were forming, and she was ready to exploit them. That evening, the office was quiet, the usual hum of activity replaced by the faint rustle of papers and the soft hum of fluorescent lights. Victoria sat at her desk, bathed in the glow of her computer screen. She was meticulously drafting the proposal Damien had requested, her fingers flying over the keyboard with practiced precision. But her mind was elsewhere. A notification pinged on her phone, drawing her attention. It was a message from an encrypted app she rarely used, its presence on her phone a carefully guarded secret. Unknown contact. Everything in place? Victoria's fingers hovered over the screen for a moment before she typed a response. Victoria, almost. Patience is key. She set the phone down and leaned back in her chair, her lips curving into a faint smile. The game was only just beginning, and Victoria Chase intended to win. But as she stared at her reflection in the darkened glass of the office window, a shadow of doubt flickered in her eyes. For a brief moment, she wondered if the life she was building was worth the price she was paying. Then the moment passed, and her resolve hardened. There was no room for doubt. Not now. Not ever. Chapter 2: Threads of Deception. The following morning, Victoria Chase walked into Blackwell Enterprises as if she owned the place. The hum of whispered conversations and the clatter of keyboards barely registered in her mind as she stepped off the elevator and into the expansive executive floor. She carried herself with an air of effortless confidence, a sharp contrast to the weary employees around her. "Good morning, Ms. Chase," called the receptionist, her voice tinged with deference. Victoria nodded curtly, her mind already calculating her next moves. The AI proposal was her ticket to a larger stage, and she intended to use it to its fullest potential. Every detail had to be flawless, every argument airtight. There was no room for error. As she approached her desk, she noticed a small envelope resting atop her keyboard. The crisp, cream-colored paper bore no markings save for her name, written in a precise hand. Her pulse quickened as she glanced around the office. No one seemed to be paying her any particular attention, but she knew better than to trust appearances. Sliding into her chair, she opened the envelope with deliberate care. Inside was a single sheet of paper with a short, typed message. Not everyone is as blind as Damien. Watch your back. Victoria's grip tightened on the paper, her mind racing. She had anticipated resistance, but this, a direct threat, was an escalation. She folded the note and slipped it into her desk drawer, her face a mask of calm. Whoever had sent it clearly underestimated her. The rest of the day passed in a blur of meetings and planning sessions. Victoria's proposal was taking shape, each piece falling into place like a carefully constructed puzzle. She worked late into the evening, her focus unshakable despite the lingering unease from the note. At precisely 8:45 p.m., she closed her laptop and reached for her coat. The office was nearly deserted, the once bustling space now eerily silent. As she made her way to the elevator, the faint sound of footsteps echoed behind her. She glanced over her shoulder, her body tensing instinctively. The corridor was empty. Forcing herself to relax, she stepped into the elevator and pressed the button for the parking garage. The doors slid shut, enclosing her in the small, mirrored space. She stared at her reflection, her sharp features and immaculate appearance belying the turmoil beneath the surface. When the elevator doors opened, the garage was dimly lit, shadows pooling in the corners. Her heels clicked against the concrete as she walked to her car, the sound unnervingly loud in the stillness. As she reached her vehicle, she noticed a figure leaning casually against the driver's side door. "Long day," the man asked, his voice low and familiar. It was Detective Isaac Langston. Victoria's heart skipped a beat, but she recovered quickly, schooling her features into a polite smile. "Detective, to what do I owe the pleasure?" Langston straightened, his sharp eyes studying her intently. "Just thought we'd have a little chat. I've been hearing some interesting things about you." "Have you?" Victoria's tone was light, but her mind was racing. "I didn't realize I was such a topic of conversation." "You'd be surprised," Langston replied. "You have a knack for turning up in places where things get messy." Victoria tilted her head, feigning curiosity. "I'm not sure what you mean, detective." Langston stepped closer, the weight of his presence impossible to ignore. "I think you know exactly what I mean. People like you don't just fall into positions like this by accident. You've got a history, Chase. A history that doesn't quite add up." Victoria's smile didn't falter, but a flicker of irritation flashed in her eyes. "If you have something to say, detective, I suggest you come out and say it. Otherwise, I have work to do." Langston chuckled, a low, humorless sound. "Oh, I'll say it. You've got secrets, Victoria. And sooner or later, they'll catch up to you." With that, he turned and walked away, his footsteps echoing in the cavernous space. Victoria watched him go, her hands clenched into fists at her sides. She climbed into her car, her mind a whirlwind of thoughts. Langston was a problem, one she would need to neutralize before he could get too close. Back at her apartment, Victoria poured herself a glass of red wine and sat by the window, staring out at the city lights. The events of the day replayed in her mind, each interaction dissected and analyzed. She had underestimated Langston's persistence, and the anonymous note suggested she had more enemies than she'd realized. She reached for her phone and opened the encrypted messaging app. "Victoria, we have a complication. Langston is sniffing around." The reply came almost instantly. "Unknown contact. Handle it. He can't know too much." Victoria set the phone down, her jaw tightening. She had come too far to let anyone derail her plans. Langston might think he had the upper hand, but he was playing a game he didn't fully understand. And Victoria Chase always played to win. Chapter 3. The Proposal. The boardroom at Blackwell Enterprises had never felt more alive with tension. The long, gleaming table was filled with department heads, senior executives, and a few strategic advisors, all waiting for the meeting to begin. The buzz of whispered conversations and the shuffle of papers created an undercurrent of energy that Victoria Chase found intoxicating. This was her stage, and she was ready to perform. Victoria sat near the head of the table, her crimson blouse a deliberate choice to command attention. Her neatly organized portfolio rested in front of her, a physical representation of the weeks of meticulous work she had poured into the proposal. She'd gone over every detail countless times, ensuring that her pitch would be flawless. Damian Blackwell entered the room, his presence commanding immediate silence. The casual chatter ceased as everyone turned their attention to him. He strode to his seat at the head of the table, exuding authority. "Let's get started," Damian said, his tone brisk. He looked at Victoria. "Miss Chase, you have the floor." Victoria rose gracefully, her heels clicking softly against the polished floor as she walked to the front of the room. The large screen behind her came to life, displaying the opening slide of her presentation. She took a deep breath, channeling the nervous energy into focus. "Thank you, Mr. Blackwell," she began, her voice steady and clear. "Over the past quarter, we've faced significant challenges in our supply chain, particularly in our Asian markets. Traditional approaches to resolving these issues have proven insufficient, and it's clear we need a more innovative solution. That's where AI-driven forecasting models come in." She clicked to the next slide, revealing a sleek graphic that detailed the inefficiencies in their current system. As she spoke, she made eye contact with each member of the board, drawing them into her narrative. Her delivery was confident, almost hypnotic, as she wove a story of potential growth and untapped opportunities. "With this technology," she continued, gesturing to the chart on the screen, "we can reduce delays by 40% and cut costs by an estimated $20 million annually. The AI will not only predict potential disruptions but also provide actionable solutions in real time." The room was silent as she transitioned to the next slide, which displayed a detailed cost-benefit analysis. She saw Elena Price's sharp gaze studying her, searching for flaws. Victoria had anticipated this and had come prepared. "I understand that implementing a new system comes with risks," Victoria said, preempting Elena's potential objections. "However, I've worked closely with our IT and logistics teams to ensure a seamless transition. The initial investment will be recouped within 18 months, with significant long-term benefits." Elena raised an eyebrow but remained silent, her expression unreadable. Victoria took this as a small victory and pressed on. "In addition to the financial gains," Victoria concluded, "this initiative positions Blackwell Enterprises as a leader in technological innovation, enhancing our reputation in the global market. This isn't just about solving problems. It's about redefining what's possible." She clicked to the final slide, which displayed the projected impact of the initiative: higher efficiency, increased profits, and a stronger market presence. The room remained silent for a moment before Damien leaned forward. "Impressive work, Ms. Chase," he said, his tone thoughtful. "You've clearly put a lot of effort into this. What do the rest of you think?" The room erupted into discussion. Some executives expressed enthusiasm, while others raised concerns about the risks and feasibility of the project. Victoria listened carefully, noting who supported her and who might need further persuasion. "I have a few questions," Elena finally said, her voice cutting through the noise. All eyes turned to her. "The projected savings are significant, but what guarantees do we have that the implementation will be as seamless as you claim? These systems are notoriously complex, and one misstep could cost us millions." Victoria nodded, her expression calm. "It's a valid concern, Ms. Price. That's why I've included a phased implementation plan in my proposal. We'll begin with a pilot program in one region to test the system and address any issues before scaling it company-wide. Additionally, I've consulted with external experts who specialize in AI integration to ensure the process is as smooth as possible." Elena's lips tightened, but she didn't press further. Damien seemed satisfied with Victoria's response and turned to the rest of the room. "Unless there are any further objections, I'd like to move forward with this," he said. "Ms. Chase, I'll need a detailed timeline and budget by the end of the week. Let's make this happen." Victoria's heart soared, though her expression remained composed. She nodded. "Of course, Mr. Blackwell. I'll have it ready." As the meeting adjourned, Victoria gathered her materials and prepared to leave. Elena approached her, her expression guarded. "You handled yourself well in there," Elena said. "But don't think I'm not watching. One misstep, and you'll find yourself out of your depth." Victoria met her gaze evenly. "I appreciate the advice, Ms. Price. I'll be sure to keep it in mind." Elena narrowed her eyes but said nothing further, turning on her heel and walking away. Victoria watched her go, a flicker of satisfaction lighting her features. The proposal was just the beginning. She had planted the seeds of her influence, and soon they would bear fruit. That evening, Victoria sat in her apartment, reviewing the notes from the meeting. Her phone buzzed with a notification from the encrypted app. Unknown contact, you're making progress. Keep it up. Victoria's fingers hovered over the screen before she typed a response. Victoria, the groundwork is laid. Now comes the hard part. She set the phone aside and leaned back in her chair, staring out at the city lights. The proposal had been a success, but it was only one step in a much larger game. She couldn't afford to become complacent. Not yet. Not ever. Chapter 4. Cracks in the Facade. The morning after her triumphant presentation, Victoria Chase arrived at Blackwell Enterprises to an atmosphere that felt subtly charged. As she stepped off the elevator, she noticed how the conversation seemed to hush momentarily, only to resume with a hint of urgency. She dismissed it as paranoia but couldn't shake the prickle of unease crawling up her spine. Victoria's steps slowed as she approached her desk. Her inbox was fuller than usual, a mountain of emails demanding her attention. Among them was a flagged message from Elena Price with the subject line, "Concerns regarding AI proposal." Victoria's jaw tightened as she clicked it open. "Victoria, I've reviewed the details of your proposed implementation timeline and have a few questions that I believe need addressing. Let's meet in my office this afternoon at 3 p.m. Elena Price." The tone was pointed, as if Elena was already preparing to pick her apart. Victoria leaned back in her chair, her fingers drumming lightly on the desk. She'd anticipated pushback, especially from Elena, but this felt more deliberate. The tension between them had escalated beyond professional rivalry, and Victoria knew she couldn't afford to let her guard down. The hours leading up to the meeting crawled by. Victoria buried herself in work, meticulously revisiting every aspect of her proposal to preempt any potential criticisms. She also sent a quick message to an IT consultant she'd worked with in the past, ensuring her responses would be bolstered by technical credibility. At exactly 3 p.m., Victoria knocked on Elena's office door. The CFO's space was austere and organized to a fault, every detail reflective of her no-nonsense persona. "Come in," Elena's voice called from within. Victoria entered, her posture perfect, exuding an air of calm confidence. Elena was seated at her desk, a stack of printed documents in front of her. "Ms. Chase," Elena began, gesturing for Victoria to sit. "Thank you for coming. I've been reviewing your proposal in more depth, and while I find the concept promising, there are gaps." Victoria met Elena's gaze, her expression neutral. "I'd be happy to address any concerns you have." Elena's lips pressed into a thin line. "For starters, your projected timeline for implementation assumes minimal disruption. I've spoken to a few contacts who have integrated similar systems, and their experiences suggest otherwise. What makes you so confident we won't encounter the same issues?" Victoria had expected this. "It's true that transitions of this nature come with challenges. That's why I included a phased rollout, beginning with a controlled pilot program. Additionally, I've secured preliminary agreements from our top suppliers to collaborate during the testing phase, ensuring alignment from day one." Elena's eyes narrowed slightly, as if searching for a crack in Victoria's armor. "And the cost overruns. These systems have a tendency to spiral out of budget once unforeseen complications arise." Victoria leaned forward, her tone firm but composed. "I've accounted for a 10% contingency in the budget, specifically to address unforeseen issues. Furthermore, I've negotiated fixed-rate contracts with our tech partners to prevent cost inflation. The financial risk is contained." For a moment, neither woman spoke. Elena's gaze lingered on Victoria, her expression inscrutable. Then she leaned back in her chair, folding her arms. "You've clearly done your homework," Elena admitted, though her tone remained cool. "But I hope you understand that any missteps will reflect on you personally. Damien may trust you, but I don't share his enthusiasm." Victoria's smile was faint but sharp. "I wouldn't expect anything less, Ms. Price." After leaving Elena's office, Victoria felt the faint stirrings of unease again. Elena's scrutiny was only one part of the equation. There were other variables, other threats she hadn't fully accounted for. She returned to her desk and was about to dive back into her work when her phone buzzed. The notification was from the encrypted messaging app. "Unknown contact, you're drawing too much attention. Handle Elena before she becomes a bigger problem." Victoria's stomach twisted. The message was as much a warning as it was a command. She took a deep breath, steadying herself. Whoever was behind the anonymous messages clearly had their own agenda, but she couldn't afford to ignore them. Not yet. That evening, Victoria found herself in an upscale lounge downtown, a glass of wine in her hand as she watched the room from a corner booth. She'd arranged to meet an old acquaintance, someone who specialized in gathering and silencing information. "You're looking sharp as ever, Victoria," said Miles Grant, sliding into the booth across from her. He was a wiry man with a slick smile and eyes that missed nothing. "Miles," Victoria greeted, her tone cool. "I need a favor."
"For you?"
"Anything," Miles replied, though his smirk suggested a price would be attached. "What's the job?" Victoria leaned in slightly, lowering her voice. "I need information on someone. Elena Price, CFO of Blackwell Enterprises. I want to know everything. Her habits, her connections, her skeletons." Miles whistled softly. "Big fish. What's she done to you?"
"She's in my way," Victoria said simply.
Miles' grin widened. "Consider it done. But you know this kind of work doesn't come cheap." Victoria slid an envelope across the table.
"Half now."
"Half when I get what I need." Miles took the envelope, his grin never wavering. "Pleasure doing business with you." As he left, Victoria sat back, her mind already spinning with possibilities. Elena had made herself a threat, and threats needed to be neutralized. Victoria wasn't sure yet how far she'd have to go, but she knew one thing for certain. She wouldn't lose. Later that night, Victoria sat in her dimly lit apartment, reviewing the details of her proposal for the 100th time. The shadows in the room seemed to stretch and deepen, mirroring the doubt that lingered in the corners of her mind. She had built her life on precision and control, but cracks were beginning to form. For the first time in years, she wondered if she could hold everything together. Her phone buzzed again. Another message from the encrypted app. "Unknown contact. No room for error. Keep your focus." Victoria stared at the screen, her jaw tightening. Whoever this contact was, they were right. There was no room for error. And if that meant playing dirty to protect her position, so be it. She'd come too far to let anyone, not Elena, not Langston, not even herself, stand in her way. Chapter 5. The Perfect Crime. Victoria Chase had always known that the most effective plans were the ones that seemed effortless, as though fate itself had orchestrated them. As she sat at her desk, her fingers skimming across the keyboard, the final elements of her grand scheme began to solidify. The AI-driven forecasting project was the perfect vehicle for her ambitions, and it was time to take the next step. But first, she needed to deal with Elena Price. Victoria's meeting with Miles Grant had yielded results faster than she expected. A thin dossier arrived at her apartment the previous evening, slipped under her door in a plain envelope. Inside were details that painted a picture of Elena's life beyond her pristine corporate exterior. A troubled marriage, mounting gambling debts, and a recent affair with a supplier. A direct conflict of interest. The evidence was damning, and Victoria's mind worked quickly to craft its use. She didn't relish destroying Elena. In fact, she admired the woman's tenacity, but admiration had no place in a world of power plays. Elena had become a liability, and liabilities had to be neutralized. The next morning, Victoria arrived at work earlier than usual, carrying a sealed manila envelope. The office was quiet, the usual chaos of the day not yet in motion. She made her way to Damian Blackwell's office and slid the envelope under his door. Inside was a carefully curated selection of the most incriminating evidence against Elena, accompanied by an anonymous note. "Mr. Blackwell, I believe you'll find these materials relevant to the integrity of your leadership team. Discretion advised."
A concerned party, asterisk, asterisk. By the time Damien arrived and discovered the envelope, Victoria was already at her desk, engrossed in her work. The morning unfolded as usual, but she kept a close eye on Damien's office. Shortly before noon, the door opened and Damien stepped out, his expression grim. He strode purposefully toward Elena's office, and Victoria felt a flicker of satisfaction. The first domino had fallen. Later that day, the company buzzed with whispers of Elena's sudden dismissal. Damien had acted swiftly, calling her into his office and presenting the evidence with the cold precision he was known for. Elena hadn't stood a chance. By the time she returned to her office, escorted by security, her face was pale, and her hands trembled as she packed her belongings. Victoria observed the scene from her desk, her expression carefully neutral. As Elena was led past her, their eyes met for a fleeting moment. Victoria saw anger, confusion, and a flicker of realization in Elena's gaze. For a moment, it seemed as though Elena might say something, but she turned away and kept walking. "Tough break for Elena, huh?" one of her colleagues murmured, leaning over Victoria's desk. "It's unfortunate," Victoria replied smoothly. "But I'm sure Mr. Blackwell had his reasons." Her colleague nodded, satisfied, and moved on. Victoria returned to her work, her mind already shifting to the next phase of her plan. With Elena out of the picture, Victoria's position within the company became even more secure. Damien began relying on her more heavily, entrusting her with responsibilities that went far beyond her official role. The AI project was green-lit with little resistance, and Victoria's star continued to rise. But Victoria knew that her true goal required more than corporate success. It was time to secure the funds. Late one evening, after the office had emptied, Victoria logged into the company's financial systems using access codes she'd obtained through careful observation and subtle manipulation. She transferred a series of small amounts into offshore accounts, each one routed through a labyrinth of intermediaries designed to obscure their origin. It was a slow, methodical process, one that required patience and precision. Victoria's phone buzzed on the desk beside her. A message from the encrypted app. "Unknown contact. Progress? Victoria. Everything is in motion. Funds will be secured within the week. Unknown contact. Ensure no loose ends. You can't afford mistakes." Victoria stared at the screen, the weight of the words settling over her. She had taken every precaution, but the stakes were higher than ever. One misstep could unravel everything. The following days passed in a blur of calculated moves. Victoria continued to play the role of the dedicated executive assistant, maintaining the trust she'd cultivated with Damien and her colleagues. She balanced her responsibilities with the covert task of siphoning funds, her dual lives becoming increasingly difficult to separate. On a Friday evening, as she completed the final transfer, a sense of triumph washed over her. The money was secured, the accounts untraceable. All that remained was her escape. That night, Victoria returned to her apartment and began packing. She moved with purpose, her mind racing through the steps of her exit plan. She had a new identity waiting for her, complete with passports, bank accounts, and a one-way ticket to a destination far from Blackwell Enterprises. As she zipped her suitcase shut, her phone buzzed again. This time, it wasn't the encrypted app, but an unknown number. She hesitated before answering. "Hello, Ms. Chase," said a familiar voice. It was Detective Isaac Langston. "We need to talk." Victoria's breath caught, but she forced her tone to remain even. "Detective Langston, to what do I owe the pleasure? Let's just say your name keeps coming up in places it shouldn't," Langston replied. "I'd like to clear a few things up. Perhaps over coffee." Victoria's mind raced. Langston was persistent, and she couldn't afford to draw his attention any further. "Of course," she said smoothly. "I'll be in touch to arrange a time." "Make it soon," Langston said. "I'm not a patient man." As the call ended, Victoria felt a flicker of doubt for the first time in weeks. She had orchestrated the perfect crime, but Langston's involvement added an unpredictable element. She couldn't let him derail her plans now. Victoria poured herself a glass of wine and stood by the window, staring out at the city lights. She had come too far to fail. The money was hers, and soon she would disappear, leaving Blackwell Enterprises and her enemies behind. But as she sipped her wine, a small voice in the back of her mind whispered a question she couldn't ignore. What happens if Langston doesn't stop? Chapter 6. The Vanishing Act. The days leading up to Victoria's planned escape were a masterclass in composure. She moved through Blackwell Enterprises with her usual grace, her face betraying none of the turmoil beneath the surface. The AI project was progressing smoothly, her reputation within the company was untarnished, and Damien continued to sing her praises. But behind the scenes, every moment was spent orchestrating her final act. Victoria had timed everything perfectly. The final transfer of funds had been completed, the offshore accounts were secure, and her new identity, courtesy of a shadowy fixer who operated under the alias Lucent, was ready. All that remained was to execute her departure without a trace. On the morning of her planned exit, Victoria arrived at the office earlier than usual. The building was still waking up, its corridors quiet save for the occasional hum of a vacuum cleaner or the rustle of papers. She made her way to Damien's office and left a neatly typed resignation letter on his desk. The note was concise and professional, thanking him for the opportunity and citing personal reasons for her abrupt departure. By the time the rest of the staff arrived, Victoria was already gone. Her first stop was a storage facility on the outskirts of the city. Inside a nondescript locker, she retrieved a small suitcase containing her new documents, a burner phone, and a modest amount of cash. She changed into a simple black dress and a wide-brimmed hat, shedding the tailored suits and polished heels that had defined her at Blackwell Enterprises. A new version of Victoria Chase was born, one that would soon disappear entirely. From there, she drove to a private airfield where a chartered jet waited to take her to an undisclosed location. As she boarded the plane, a wave of relief washed over her. The hardest part was over, or so she thought. Back at Blackwell Enterprises, chaos erupted. Damien found the resignation letter just as news of a massive financial discrepancy reached his desk. The company's accounting team had uncovered the missing funds, and the timeline pointed directly to Victoria. Damien's face darkened as he pieced it together. "Get me Detective Langston," he barked, slamming the phone down after dialing his assistant. Langston had been watching Victoria for weeks, his instincts telling him there was more to her than met the eye. The call from Damien confirmed his suspicions. Victoria's flight landed in a tropical destination, the kind of place where anonymity was as plentiful as the sunshine. She checked into a secluded villa under her new identity, the weight of her actions finally beginning to lift. For the first time in years, she allowed herself to relax. She spent the evening on the villa's terrace, a glass of wine in hand as the ocean breeze carried the scent of salt and hibiscus. The stars above were brilliant, untainted by the city's light pollution. She felt untouchable, as though she had finally outsmarted the world. But the serenity was short-lived. 3 days after her arrival, Victoria's burner phone buzzed with a message. She frowned, knowing only one person had access to the number. "Lucent, we have a problem. Langston is closing in." Victoria's chest tightened. She had accounted for so many variables, but Langston was proving to be the wild card. She quickly typed a response. "Victoria, how much does he know?" "Lucent, enough to be dangerous. He's tracking the offshore accounts." Victoria cursed under her breath. Langston's persistence was more formidable than she'd anticipated. She couldn't afford to let him connect the dots. Meanwhile, Langston had reached out to international contacts, using his network to trace the trail Victoria had worked so hard to obscure. Piece by piece, he was unraveling the web she'd spun, and each discovery brought him closer to her. Victoria spent the next few days in a flurry of activity. She liquidated her remaining assets, rerouted the funds through additional intermediaries, and destroyed any remaining evidence that could link her to the crime. Her once idyllic escape began to feel like a prison, each passing hour tightening the noose around her. Late one night, as she sat poring over financial records, her burner phone buzzed again. "Lucent, he's here." Her blood ran cold. She typed back frantically. "Victoria, where?" "Lucent, close. You need to move." Victoria didn't hesitate. She grabbed the essentials, her passport, cash, and the burner phone, and slipped out of the villa under the cover of darkness. She hailed a taxi to the nearest port, where a private boat awaited her. The captain, a grizzled man with no questions to ask, promised to take her to a neighboring island. As the boat sped across the dark water, Victoria stared out at the horizon, her mind racing. She had underestimated Langston's reach, and now the game had become a deadly race. She wasn't just running from justice, she was running for her life. Langston arrived at the villa the next morning, only to find it abandoned. The scent of her perfume lingered faintly in the air, a taunting reminder of how close he'd come. But Langston wasn't one to give up easily. He stood on the terrace, the ocean stretching endlessly before him, and vowed to find her. "You can run, Miss Chase," he muttered, "but you can't hide forever." Victoria's boat reached the neighboring island by dawn. She stepped onto the dock, her heels clicking softly against the weathered planks. The island was quieter, more secluded, the perfect place to regroup and plan her next move. But as she walked toward the small cluster of villas ahead, she couldn't shake the feeling that she was being watched. For the first time in her life, Victoria Chase was no longer in control. And for the first time, she felt the icy grip of fear. Chapter 7. Unraveling the Web. Victoria Chase stepped cautiously off the boat onto the secluded island's creaking wooden dock. The early morning sun cast a golden glow over the horizon, but its warmth did little to ease the chill coursing through her veins. This island was supposed to be her refuge, a place to regroup and strategize. But for the first time, Victoria felt the unfamiliar sting of uncertainty. The small port town was still waking up. A few fishermen hauled their nets to the shore, and the faint aroma of fried plantains wafted from a nearby stall. Victoria adjusted the strap of her leather satchel and walked briskly toward a nondescript villa she had rented through an anonymous third party. Every move had been meticulously planned to ensure no traceable connections. But Langston's shadow loomed large. She couldn't ignore the growing sense that he was closing in. Back in the city, Detective Isaac Langston stood in Damian Blackwell's office, poring over a table cluttered with documents and digital logs. The CEO had spared no resources in aiding the investigation, furious at the scale of Victoria's betrayal. "She's smart, I'll give her that," Langston muttered, flipping through a stack of financial transactions. "But even the smartest people make mistakes. What do you have so far?" Damian asked, his voice tense. Langston tapped a highlighted entry on the spreadsheet. "She's been funneling money through offshore accounts. Most of it's buried so deep it'll take months to fully trace, but this transfer here," he pointed to a recent transaction, "leads to a bank in the Cayman Islands. It's thin, but it's something." Damian frowned. And I've got a contact down there who's already pulling strings." "I'll find her," Langston said with conviction. "She thinks she's untouchable, but nobody's perfect." At the villa, Victoria settled into a leather armchair by the window, her satchel on the floor beside her. She opened her laptop, which had been equipped with secure encryption software. A map of her financial transfers lit up the screen, each point representing a carefully constructed layer of misdirection. Her burner phone buzzed. "Lucent, your name's circulating in Langston's circles. He's tenacious." "Victoria, I'm aware. How much time do I have?" "Lucent, not long. He's tracking the Caymans. If he connects the dots, you'll need to move again." Victoria's fingers tightened around the phone. Her plan had been impeccable, but Langston's persistence was beginning to fray its edges. She typed a quick reply. "Victoria, I'll handle it. Keep me updated." Langston arrived in the Cayman Islands 2 days later, armed with leads and an iron determination. The tropical heat was oppressive, but it didn't slow him down. He met with his local contact, an ex-banker named Elliot Green, who specialized in uncovering offshore fraud. "Your girl's clever," Elliot said, sliding a folder across the table. "But not flawless. She's got a trust fund set up under the name Victoria Lee. And a sizable withdrawal was made recently. Enough to suggest she's close." Langston scanned the documents, his brow furrowing. "Where's she staying?" Elliot smirked. "That's the tricky part. She's using intermediaries for everything. But if I were a betting man, I'd say she's headed for one of the smaller islands. Fewer eyes, fewer questions." Langston nodded. "Then we start there." Victoria's routine on the island became a study in vigilance. She avoided crowded areas, used cash for every transaction, and changed her routes daily. But despite her precautions, she couldn't ignore the growing tension in her chest. One evening, as she sat on the terrace overlooking the ocean, she noticed a figure lingering near the edge of the property. Her heart raced, but she forced herself to remain calm. The figure, a local gardener, eventually moved on, but the moment planted a seed of paranoia. She reached for her phone and dialed Lucent. "We have a problem," she said as soon as he answered. "I'm not sure how, but I think Langston's closer than we thought." Lucent's voice was calm, almost too calm. "If he's on the island, he won't stay under the radar for long. You need to be ready to move at a moment's notice." Victoria's grip on the phone tightened. "I can't keep running forever." "No," Lucent agreed. "But you can run long enough to win." The next morning, Langston arrived on the island. Armed with intel from Elliot and a growing sense of momentum, he began his search. It didn't take long for him to pick up a trail. Victoria's habits, no matter how carefully managed, left faint footprints. A cash payment here, a subtle question there. By sunset, Langston stood outside the villa. The faint sound of music drifted through the open window, and the soft glow of light spilled onto the terrace. He stepped closer, his heart pounding. Inside, Victoria was pouring herself a glass of wine, her mind racing with contingency plans. She sensed it before she saw him, a shift in the air, a subtle disturbance. Turning slowly, she saw Langston standing in the doorway, his silhouette framed by the fading light. "You," she said, her voice a mixture of surprise and resignation. "Me," Langston replied, stepping inside. His tone was calm but firm. "You've made this a lot harder than it needed to be, Miss Chase." Victoria's eyes darted to the satchel on the table, where her escape plan lay. Langston followed her gaze and smirked. "Don't even think about it," he warned. For a moment, they stared at each other, the weight of their shared history hanging in the air. Victoria's mind raced with possibilities, but Langston's resolve was unmistakable. "It's over," he said softly. Victoria's lips curved into a faint smile, her eyes glinting with defiance. "Is it?" The room fell silent, the tension thick enough to cut. Both knew the game wasn't over yet. Not completely, but for the first time Victoria felt the walls closing in. And for the first time, Langston felt the thrill of victory within his grasp. Chapter 8. The Reckoning. Victoria's breath hitched as she locked eyes with Detective Isaac Langston. The dim glow of the villa's interior lights framed him like a specter. His expression equal parts determination and triumph. For a fleeting moment, panic threatened to claw its way to the surface, but Victoria's instincts kicked in. She had spent her entire life outmaneuvering those who underestimated her, and she wasn't about to stop now. "How long have you been standing there?" she asked, her voice smooth despite the tension in her chest. Langston took a measured step forward, his hand resting casually on his hip near his badge. "Long enough to see the game's up. You've done an impressive job staying ahead, Miss Chase, but this is the end of the line." Victoria's eyes flickered toward the satchel on the table, where her burner phone and a hastily packed stack of cash rested. Langston noticed, his lips curling into a faint smirk. "You really think you can talk your way out of this?" he asked, tilting his head. "Or are you planning another disappearing act?" Victoria's mind raced, every detail of the room, the positioning of the furniture, the proximity of the door, becoming a potential escape route. But Langston's presence loomed. His every move calculated to block her options. "I don't suppose you'd believe me if I said you've got the wrong person," she said, arching an eyebrow. Langston chuckled, a low, humorless sound. "Not this time. I've got the paper trail, the witnesses, and the evidence. The only thing missing is you in handcuffs." "How charming," Victoria quipped, her tone laced with sarcasm. "Tell me, detective, do you always corner women in remote villas, or am I just special?" Langston's expression hardened. "You're special, all right. Special enough to ruin lives and leave a trail of chaos behind you. But the game's over, Victoria. Time to face the consequences." Victoria leaned against the back of her chair, forcing herself to exude calm. She needed time, just a little more time to think. "You know," she began, her voice measured, "you're not as clever as you think, Langston. Showing up here without backup. What's the plan? Drag me out of here by yourself." Langston shrugged, unbothered. "Backup's waiting a mile down the road. I wanted to give you the courtesy of a conversation before this all goes public." "You're welcome." Victoria's jaw tightened, her composure threatening to crack. "And what if I told you you're making a mistake? That this is bigger than me or you?" "Then I'd say you're stalling," Langston replied, his eyes narrowing. "And I don't have time for games." Before he could step closer, Victoria made her move. With a flick of her wrist, she knocked the satchel off the table, spilling its contents onto the floor. The distraction bought her a split second, enough to lunge toward the kitchen counter, where a concealed drawer held her last resort, a small, unregistered firearm. Langston reacted instantly, drawing his weapon and leveling it at her. "Don't," he warned, his voice sharp. Victoria froze, her fingers inches from the drawer. Her chest heaved as the adrenaline coursed through her veins. She met Langston's gaze, the tension between them thick enough to suffocate. "Is this really how you want it to end?" Langston asked, his voice softer now. "You're smart, Victoria. Smarter than most of the people I've dealt with. But you can't win this one. Let it go." For a long moment, silence filled the room. Victoria's mind churned, weighing her options. She had always prided herself on staying one step ahead, but this time, the board was set against her. Finally, she straightened, her hands raised in surrender. "You win, detective," she said, her voice steady. "For now." Langston's shoulders relaxed slightly, but his weapon remained trained on her. "Good choice. Now, hands where I can see them." Victoria complied, her movements deliberate. As Langston stepped closer to secure her, she allowed herself a small, secret smile. The game wasn't over yet. The sound of distant sirens echoed through the night as Langston led Victoria out of the villa. The tropical breeze carried the scent of salt and hibiscus, a bittersweet reminder of the life she was leaving behind. For now, the web she had spun was unraveling, but Victoria Chase had never been one to accept defeat. As she was placed in the back of a waiting patrol car, her eyes met Langston's through the rearview mirror. There was no fear in her gaze, only a quiet determination that sent a shiver down his spine. "You're persistent, detective," she said, her voice calm. "I'll give you that. But don't think this is over." Langston said nothing, but the faintest flicker of unease crossed his face. Victoria leaned back in her seat, a small, enigmatic smile playing on her lips. The game had taken an unexpected turn, but the pieces were still in play. And Victoria Chase always played to win. Chapter 9. The Final Gambit. The rhythmic hum of the plane's engines filled the small cabin as Victoria Chase sat in the back, her hands bound, her mind racing. The quiet determination that had carried her through every obstacle now sharpened into an unyielding resolve. Across from her, Detective Isaac Langston sat with his arms crossed, his eyes fixed on her like a hawk studying its prey. "You look pleased with yourself, Langston," Victoria said, breaking the silence. Her voice was calm, almost teasing, though her pulse thundered in her ears. Langston's gaze didn't waver. "You've been running for a long time, Victoria. It's about time someone caught up with you." Victoria leaned back, the faintest smile playing on her lips. "Funny thing about running, It keeps you in shape. Langston's expression darkened, but he said nothing. She could feel his unease beneath the surface, the nagging suspicion that the woman in front of him still held cards he couldn't see. The plane landed at a small airfield just outside the city, where a convoy of police vehicles waited. Langston escorted Victoria down the steps, his grip firm on her arm. The officers on the ground watched with a mixture of curiosity and awe, the infamous Victoria Chase finally in custody. As they reached the car waiting to transport her, Victoria turned to Langston. "I have to admit, you're not like the others," she said. "Most men in your position would have underestimated me." Langston's jaw tightened. "You're not as unpredictable as you think, Chase. Everyone slips up eventually." "Do they?" she replied, her tone laced with intrigue. Before he could respond, she stepped into the back seat of the car, the door shutting with a decisive click. The convoy moved swiftly through the city, the bright lights of skyscrapers flashing past the windows. Victoria watched the familiar skyline, her mind a blur of calculations. Her captors believed they had won, but they hadn't accounted for one crucial factor. Victoria Chase never left loose ends. Halfway to the precinct, the car jerked violently as the sound of an explosion erupted behind them. The driver swerved, narrowly avoiding a collision as the convoy scattered. Langston's head snapped toward the commotion, his hand instinctively reaching for his weapon. "What the hell was that?" the officer driving shouted. Before anyone could respond, the car's radio crackled to life. "Convoy under attack. Repeat, convoy under attack." Langston turned to Victoria, his eyes narrowing. "What did you do?" Victoria's smile widened, her calm demeanor unshaken. "Let's just say I've always had a contingency plan." The chaos outside escalated as masked figures on motorcycles weaved through the convoy, disabling vehicles with precision. Smoke filled the air, obscuring visibility, while officers scrambled to respond. Langston drew his weapon, his focus razor sharp. "Stay in the car," he barked at the driver before stepping out to assess the situation. As soon as he was out of sight, Victoria leaned forward, her bound hands fumbling with a small blade concealed in her sleeve. With practiced efficiency, she sliced through the restraints. The driver turned, his eyes widening as he realized what was happening. "Hey, stop!" Victoria moved quickly, her elbow connecting with his temple in a single, precise motion. The man slumped forward, unconscious. She reached over him, disengaging the locks and slipping out of the car into the chaos. Smoke billowed across the street as Victoria moved through the confusion, her steps swift and deliberate. She spotted one of the masked figures and gave a subtle signal. The figure nodded, tossing her a helmet before disappearing into the fray. As she donned the helmet, Victoria felt a surge of adrenaline. The plan was risky, but it was her only shot. She mounted the waiting motorcycle and sped away, the roar of the engine drowning out the chaos behind her. Langston emerged from the smoke just in time to see Victoria speeding off. His jaw clenched as he raised his radio. "Suspect is fleeing on a motorcycle, heading south. Block all exits." He sprinted to his car, the driver now regaining consciousness. "Get up," Langston growled, pulling the man into the passenger seat before taking the wheel. The tires screeched as he tore after her, the chase reigniting his determination. Victoria weaved through the city streets, her movements precise and calculated. She knew Langston would follow, and she welcomed it. This was her final gambit, a chance to turn the tables one last time. As she approached a narrow alleyway, Victoria slowed just enough to let Langston catch up. She glanced over her shoulder, their eyes meeting for a brief moment through the haze of pursuit. Then, with a calculated swerve, she led him down a labyrinth of side streets, each turn a carefully chosen piece of her escape plan. Finally, she reached the edge of the city, where an abandoned warehouse loomed. She skidded to a stop, dismounting the motorcycle and disappearing inside. Langston arrived moments later, his weapon drawn as he stepped into the shadows. The warehouse was silent, the air thick with tension. Langston moved cautiously, his every sense on high alert. He knew this was a trap, but he had no choice but to walk into it. "It's over, Victoria," he called out, his voice echoing off the walls. "There's nowhere left to run." Her voice floated back to him, calm and mocking. "You've said that before, detective. Yet here we are." Langston followed the sound, his grip tightening on his weapon. The warehouse's dim lighting cast long shadows, every corner a potential hiding spot. Finally, he spotted her standing near a stack of crates, her hands raised in mock surrender. "You're persistent, I'll give you that," she said, her smile faint but confident. "This ends now," Langston said, advancing cautiously. Victoria's smile didn't falter. "Oh, it ends, all right. Just not the way you think." Before Langston could react, the crates behind her exploded in a blinding flash, the force of the blast throwing him off his feet. As he scrambled to recover, Victoria vanished into the smoke, her laughter echoing in his ears. When the smoke cleared, Langston found himself alone. The warehouse was empty, save for the lingering scent of burnt wood and the faint hum of a distant engine fading into the night. Far from the chaos, Victoria sped down an open highway, her heart pounding but her mind clear. She had lost everything, her position, her wealth, her carefully constructed life. But she still had her freedom, and as long as she had that, she would find a way to rebuild. As the city lights disappeared in her rearview mirror, Victoria allowed herself a small smile. The game wasn't over. Never was.